We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's talk wide receivers, see if we can get some more guys for Jeremy. The Bills in dire need of wide receivers. Maybe they'll address it in the draft. There's a good group of guys to talk about. For that, we go to the Western Hotline and bring in Kyle Krabs. Kyle works with the Draft Network. DraftNetwork.com is their great website, and he's co-host of the Draft Dudes podcast. And he's with us right now. Kyle, it's Howard and Jeremy. Happy Friday. How are you?
Happy Friday to you guys as well. I'll tell you what, you guys are pretty hostile. I get on the air, you guys are calling each other old.
Well, I am old.
Uncomfortable.
I am old, Kyle. He's getting old. I'm just welcoming him to the group. I'm going to give my AARP card by the end of the show. We need wide receiver help here in town, Mr. Krabs. So let's talk about the top portion of the wide receiver group. Are there guys in this group that you see, hey, you know what, year one, they can come in and really make an impact, really help their team in year one?
Yeah, I think there's different styles of wide receivers in this year's group. I don't see a lot of guys that kind of check all the boxes as being your prototypical like alpha receiver that you run your passing offense through. There's a couple of guys that have that potential in their game, most notably DK Metcalf from Mississippi, but ironically enough, when he was at school at Mississippi before he was injured halfway through his final season, they chose to run their offense through a different wide receiver, A.J. Brown, who projects to a little bit more of a big slot receiver at the next level, but Metcalf is big, explosive, vertical threat down the field. He's a little rough around the edges, but he's still a very young football player, and he is, from a physicality perspective, a really, really special treat. But the Bills, specifically looking at a team that likes to stretch the field, I think Marquise Brown from Oklahoma has a realistic chance, health willing, to step into an NFL team and be a really dynamic threat. I think he's a much better route runner than what he's given credit for. And then there's contested catch guys like N'Keal Harry and Kelvin Harmon. So it's kind of choose your flavor. It's an interesting class in that regard.
On Metcalf, there's a picture of him that floated around the internet the other day on Twitter. Like,
yeah.
He's jacked. He looks like a professional wrestler, like a professional boxer. When you say he's rough around the edges, is it that there's not fluidity? I mean, I'm thinking of some of the biggest, strongest receivers to ever make it. I think about David Boston, how at one point he was just so big. So with Metcalf, is that what you mean? Like, he's just... he's not the fastest. He's not. He's what, a freak? He's an athlete. What do we have?
So he is a freak athlete. He is very explosive down the field. You can turn on. I think there were like three or four straight games where the first play of the game they went vertical to Metcalf and he ran right by corners on the outside. So he's really explosive in linear situations. It's this Ole Miss offense really didn't cultivate a lot of good habits for pro prospects at the wide receiver position. He's a guy that ran outside. He ran somewhat of a limited route tree. And when he addresses the football at times, it looks like he has to think about it. So he's not necessarily the most natural hands catcher. But for his size and that picture that went around, I don't know if he's going to necessarily look that big at the combine. I think the dude's just got a nice angle, some good lighting, and he's fresh off a nice pump in the weight room.
Okay.
But, I mean, he changes direction very well. He's a very, very dynamic athlete. So it's more the technical side of his game that you want to see some improvements with. But he's simultaneously so big, so strong. He's good getting off press coverage, and he can stack you vertically when he presses up the field. There's a lot to like right away that can make you say, okay, we can get a guy that can contribute immediately, but in a couple of years, maybe like an alpha receiver in the NFL.
You mentioned Marquise Brown. I wanted to check the measurables on him. So I went to the profiles you guys have at draftnetwork.com. He's listed at 5'10", 168. He's fast. He's not big. Is that a problem?
I think it may be something that drives him down draft boards a little bit. Obviously, if he comes in under 170, that's going to be a very big problem. Teams have they want to know that you have the requisite durability and can take hits, and you don't see many first-round wide receivers that go that early, and the ones that you do, Teddy Ginn when he went to the Dolphins 10 years ago, Will Fuller with the Houston Texans, these guys fight injury. So I expect him to come in heavier than what that weight is, and I still expect him to run very, very well. I expect him to run low 4.3s in his 40-yard time, which anything lower than that, you're just getting minimal additional returns on that speed anyway. If you're fast, you're fast. And Brown's really fast. I think he can be a DeSean Jackson-type threat at the next level because he's not just a vertical nine-route guy. I see a lot more nuance in his routes and his breaks and his ability to set up defensive backs. It'll really just come down to, you know, can you keep yourself healthy? And the fact that, you know, he was injured at the end of the season and didn't have a big impact in Oklahoma's last couple games after a big explosion against West Virginia is something that he will have to address at the NFL Combine and may make him available in the early second round.
Good. All right, so now you got us. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, since you bring up second round, let's talk about the depth of the class, Kyle, because let's say the Bills decide to go in a different direction with their first pick, but they still need wide receiver. Round two, I think they're in the 40s somewhere. Round three, how deep is the class? What kind of receiver is available for them if they hold off to the second or even till the third round?
Sure, I like this year's class. I think it gets a bum rap from some of my colleagues in the draft industry, but I look at names that were at the Senior Bowl, like Terry McLaurin from Ohio State. It's another guy that played in an offense that really didn't run their offense through anybody specifically, but McLaurin has really, really good traits and went down to the Senior Bowl, and he had a phenomenal week. He showed he can run. He put guys in blenders at the line of scrimmage, getting off the line of scrimmage. He plays special teams. Those kinds of guys, you know, round three, maybe for somebody like that, I think he could be a starter in the NFL. You have guys like Nebraska's Stanley Morgan, who's another stretch-the-field kind of guy. Ohio State's Paris Campbell is something more of a Cordarrelle Patterson, kind of a gadget guy, but he's got speed to burn. Then you got a couple quarterback converts like David Sills, went to college and was going to play quarterback and then transitioned to wide receiver at West Virginia and caught like 20-something touchdown passes. And he's a big, tall guy. He's like 6'4", 6'5". So there are guys, depending on what kind of box you want to check, but there's like three or four guys that can check multiple boxes at the top of the class. So as long as you understand what you're getting into, where, you know, we want to go a different direction, we might get a true speed guy, but he's going to be much more one-dimensional. Yep. Or we may have a true red zone guy, but he's not going to be a guy that gets separation in between the 20s.
Is there a guy, and I want to ask you about Deebo Samuel since you brought up the Senior Bowl, but is there a guy right now that checks more boxes than anybody else, is maybe the most polished receiver at this point?
I think Kelvin Harmon probably does that from NC State. He doesn't get great separation, but he knows how to use his size and he knows how to temper his speeds where he gets enough separation. He's a guy that can get vertical and play above the rim and pluck the ball off defenders' foreheads. He's a guy that is big and strong after the catch, and he can get off press coverage. So Hakeem Butler from Iowa State is another guy that checks some of those boxes, but he's abysmal getting off press coverage. So I think Kelvin Harmon gives you enough of everything, and he's the most polished out of this group, that if you were hoping for the safest play, it's probably Kelvin Harmon.
You mentioned the Senior Bowl, and it seemed like, you know, watching some of the practices over the course of the week, Deebo Samuel kept coming up as a guy they were talking about, seemed to have a pretty good week. Where does he slot in this year's group of receivers? What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's going to end up falling somewhere between wide receiver 5 and wide receiver 10 for me. His athletic testing, I think, is going to be really interesting because he's a bigger, thicker receiver. He's got some good short area quickness, or at least he showed he did on his routes. But he's a guy that I need to know for sure because he's a big play guy, but you don't expect a big play guy to carry the kind of weight that he carries on his frame. So he almost is built like a running back. He's an interesting kind of hybrid type guy, and he's another guy that had a lot of success with the route running aspect, and when defensive backs were put in one-on-one coverage against him, they struggled. But again, Deebo Samuel's another guy that has had some injury issues, and durability will be a question for him as well. And He's not necessarily a guy that a lot of teams will be lining up to play outside if they're going to be strict about certain measurables and needing to have height thresholds that you need to meet. And I think that is another reason why he's going to be a guy that is available probably in the second round. And we'll need to do well at the combine to kind of ease any questions.
No, let me circle back for a second. There's one other guy I want to ask you about, but I forgot in terms of medicals with Metcalf. So when they're at, is he going to the combine?
Yes, he's going to the combine, and he is fully cleared for all football activity and other activity because he did have a neck injury halfway through the season.
That's what I was curious about. I mean, are the physicals a big deal for him in terms of where he goes, you know, his stock up or down the board? Is that going to be a big deal for teams to make sure that his neck is okay?
Sure. To see him out there and running around and the fact that he's been cleared and has been able to train for the athletic testing piece, and then furthermore they went on top of that and said he's cleared for football activities at this point. As long as the cross checks and the initial examination don't flag anything, then he should be perfectly in the clear.
Okay. And the last guy I want to ask you about is a local guy, Kyle, from the University of Buffalo, Anthony Johnson, who was at the Senior Bowl, who is going to be at the Combine. You know, he's not in the top mix, I think, at draftnetwork.com, but you guys do have a profile on him. Where does he slot in?
Sure. I think he's an interesting day three kind of guy, so round four, round five. Johnson had a ton of production, obviously, at the University of Buffalo. But my concerns with him were really centered around a lack of burst. He really didn't strike me as an explosive guy. He's more of a traditional possession-type receiver. But I do like the fact that he's got great body control. He really addresses the football well when it's in the air. He understands how to contort and twist his body and come back and greet the ball. And he'll need that because he's not going to be a guy that gets wide open in a real high amount of instances. So that's one way that you can temper that. But I think the fact that he's what I would consider to be an average athlete at best at the wide receiver position, even as a guy that is a little bit bigger than your average wide receiver in the NFL, he's got plus size. I think that average athleticism will be something that really bogs him down in a group of receivers, as I said, that, you know, you can get a guy to fulfill a certain role and step into playing a reasonable amount of your offensive snaps pretty quickly.
Yeah, there were times for sure he would get behind defenses, but a lot of times, as you know, looking at his games, he was very successful making the contested catch. Tyree Jackson would throw the ball up in the air, and he would have either he'd have a height advantage over the defensive back, or one-on-one, he'd be, you know, he could high point the ball or just outfight the guy for the football.
Yeah, I like some of his concentration grabs.
Yep.
With a hand kind of flashing across his face or back shoulder type stuff. And I was at the game in Philadelphia this past year when they played against Temple.
Right.
And he made some big plays down the stretch of that game. And I think he can feast a lot against zone coverage because he's a guy that can sit down, makes himself available. He's pretty smart in that capacity. But if you're going to line him up outside and ask him to beat true man-to-man one-on-one press coverage against physical corners in the NFL, I think that's an area he may struggle a little bit.
Kyle, get in a little pub for the draftnetwork.com on your podcast.
Sure. So draftnetwork.com is where our goal is to be the one-stop shop. There's a lot of places out there that do things very good to great in regards to the NFL draft, but we're hoping to be the place that does everything great. As far as the player profiles, we have a player database with over 400 2018 or 2019 NFL draft prospects with full scouting reports already written right now. So it's a great place. We've got them listed in our personal rankings as far as predictive rankings and also what we rank the players ourselves. And coming up in a couple weeks, the 25th of February, we have two interactive tools, Mock Draft Machine and Build Your Own Big Board, where you get the chance to be the expert and conduct your own big board and then go into our mock draft machine using your own big board, and you can draft for your favorite team or all 32 teams or however many teams you'd like and get the chance to run through simulations of the 2019 NFL draft. So it's cool stuff coming up. Definitely swing over and check it out.
You know what? Let me squeeze in one more before I let you go, because I'm at the site and I realize Joe Marino has just posted or recently posted his 7-round Bills mock draft. And it's funny, you brought up Terry McLaurin from Ohio State. He has him going to the Bills in round five. But there's a receiver I didn't ask you about. In round two, he has them taking, is it J.J. Arcega Whiteside from Stanford?
Arcega Whiteside, yeah.
What about him?
Yeah, he's an interesting cat. He almost embraces the contested catches. He likes to beat up DBs at the catch point. But he has some of the best ball skills of any wide receiver in this class. He's pretty savvy as a route runner. His feet are pretty clean at the line of scrimmage. I don't think he's a super explosive athlete, but I think he wins enough with his footwork and with his stems and his routes that he gets away from you initially, and then he loves to work back to the ball. Those back shoulder throws, those above-the-rim throws in the red zone. I think he was 13 of 22 or something like that in contested targets this past year. So he had a lot of success. Over, I think, right around 60% is how that math works out for in contested situations with a guy immediately on his hip when the ball arrives, being able to outwork those guys, a little bit of a basketball background, which you can definitely see. So he would be a red zone threat for sure.
All right, good stuff. Kyle, thanks. Thanks for coming on with us. It's a great site, folks. It's thedraftnetwork.com, and it's multiple scouts, not just Kyle. You can read profiles from, you know, three different guys on the same player. So it's a great place to go. Thank you for giving us your time, as always, Kyle, and have a marvelous weekend.
Thanks. Same to you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.